before, I selected the Bond of Love today, just thinking about it, our picnic later, and now the folks from the Awaken will be there, and just thought it was nice to be thinking about we are one in the bond of love. And it only has two verses, so we're going to sing the first one again on the third as the choir walks down. Hymn number 384, The Bond of Love.
As you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. One of the things that as we consider spirituality, as we consider church, and as we come together, dynamic churches are the hope of this nation. That is what makes a difference. If you think about how the gospel has spread from the beginning of time, you think about those faithful disciples who went out and they lifted the Lord up that he might truly draw all men unto him. But churches are a place where God's people can come together. Now, there are many things that we do. This is a place where obviously, the gospel is preached for those who may have never had a chance to hear the gospel, those who may be searching for something in their life that is missing. Often they will turn to the church. Often they will turn to religion, as people would say. Now, I would always say you're better off to turn to Christ and Christianity than religion, because there's a whole bunch of religion out there that'll lead you absolutely nowhere. Amen? There's a difference between those two. So, yet when difference between those two. So, yet when we think about that, it takes dynamic churches to be able to not only win a culture, but also to change a culture. Effective churches bring people to Christ and righteous living, living that is in accordance with the Word. Now, I didn't say that was easy. Too many times people would sit back and they get this idea that, well, I'll tell you one thing, if I give my life to Jesus Christ, all is right with the world, everything is going to be fine, there will be no more problems in the world. That's laughable, isn't it? In fact, the Word of God tells us that that is exactly the opposite. You know, Satan's going to come after you. He don't bother you when you're not bothering him, but when you start getting yourself right with the Lord, when you start heading down a godly path, Satan does everything that he can to try to trip you up. Amen? You felt that. If you haven't, you better check yourself, because that's the way it works, plain and simple, no matter what. But see, churches that are on fire for Christ improve and can improve even the spiritual temperature of a nation. Plain and simple. They can. You know, when people begin to get right with the Lord, you begin to see people change. We simply live in a world that I'm just going to categorize it in these great spiritual terms. We just live in a nasty world today, don't we? People are just nasty to one another. They're quick-tempered. And folks, here, this is what bothers me. Even Christian people are that way. Not just with unchristian people. They're that way with each other. And you know, I mentioned this to a guy one time, and he said, well, he says, you know how it is, though. That's the way families fight. I said, well, they don't have to. Not like that. I said, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, what happens is too often people don't come to know the Lord because the church looks exactly like the world. Now, that's painful to say, but it's true. The church looks so much like the world. When people are looking for something that brings hope and they're looking for something different and they view the church in that regard, they'll say, I'm not going to turn to the church. It doesn't look any different than anything else or anybody else that I know. Folks, God calls us to be different. He calls us to be separate. He calls us out among the masses. That's what the difference is. And when people look at the church and they don't see it as any different than the world, then we've lost our effectiveness. And you see, the Lord knew this as well, and that is the reason why in the book of Revelation, over the last several weeks, obviously I wasn't here last week. I appreciate Brother Rodney stepping in and filling in, a great brother that I love dearly. But we've been talking about some of these churches, the seven churches at Asia Minor that the Lord mentions. And the reason he's done that is these churches stand for essentially the church, the type of church that you attend today, types of churches that are all over this world today. Now, he points out some irregularities at times with these. Now, obviously, there's one that we will eventually get to talk about that it's different. It was one that got an attaboy from the Lord. Don't we want an attaboy from the Lord? If there's anybody I want an attaboy from, it's the Lord. Not too worried about what people would say. But what happens is the Lord is addressing certain issues that are going on with each of these individual churches. He does it in a clear and concise way. He is straight and to the point. You ever been around somebody that beats around the bush? Doesn't that drive you crazy sometimes? You just want to grab and say it. Just say it. What's on your mind? Don't leave anything. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord says it. He tells it exactly like it is. Today, we're going to be looking at the church of Laodicea out of Revelation chapter 3. So if you've got your Bible, look over there. And we're going to begin reading at verse 14. Now, you'll notice these messages that he gives to the churches, they're not lengthy. They are straight to the and to the point. So imagine, we've been saying, I would kind of call this series that we've been doing a visit from the master. Can you imagine what it would be like today if you were here and Jesus walks in the door himself? And there's no doubt about who he is. You know exactly who he is. By the way, when you get in the presence of the master, you know exactly who he is. I think part of our problem at times is we don't get in the presence of the master enough to even know who he is. But if he walked in and he was doing an audit on our church today, if he was doing a Central Baptist Church audit, first of all, I've asked, how would you feel? You know, would you be worried? You know how it is. That's the way people are when somebody says, oh, we're coming down for an audit or we're coming down for an inspection. It is like the flight of the bumblebee. Everybody's around the office trying to make sure they have this, that, and the other thing in order and together. You try to make sure it's right. Well, folks, let me just give you a tip. If you keep it right all the time, you don't have to do that. So everybody's goes crazy. Now imagine he comes in, he breaks out the books. He's looking at everything. What would he say? Now, a lot of us already know what he would say about our lives. We already know what it is that he would be saying. We already know there were some things that we should have had right, true, and correct before he walked through the door. See, it was the same way with these churches. The church at Laodicea, he addresses them in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He says this. It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, we do so with a sense of anticipation. Lord, we know that as we have arrived today, that you truly have a word for us. Lord, I pray that we will not be so busy in our lives and so busy about what's going on today or for these next few moments that we miss what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that not only will we hear loudly and clearly, just as you mentioned to this church at Laodicea, if we have ears, let us hear what the Spirit has to say. And Lord, through Christ, you have given us ears. May we truly hear what the Spirit will say to us individually today. Lord, may we hear what the Spirit will say to us corporately today as a church. And Lord, may we truly be about your business in a way that is pleasing in your sight. So Lord, bless our time. These are precious moments. May we hear your word. May we act and react upon what you speak to us and upon what you show us. As Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when you look at that is what I call a very direct and to the point message to the church. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I love what he does and how he begins to address them in those verses 14 through 16. When you look at how he introduces himself to them, I've often said this, I don't think the Lord needs an introduction, but I like how he made this introduction to the church of the Laodiceans. You know, notice what he says. He says he's the Amen. Christ is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Amen. He is the final word. He is the final authority. Yeah, he is the faithful and true witness. Christ is one who keeps his promise. How many of you all have ever had somebody make you a promise that they broke? Now, I didn't say how. Some of you have had people that made you a promise and broke that promise willfully and knowingly. How many of you have had that happen? They made you the promise and it didn't matter. Their word was no good. See, I'm old school. I was brought up that a man is as good as his word. You know, you could still seal a deal on a handshake. You can't do that anymore. How many of y'all ever sealed a deal on a handshake? How many of you would try it today? I don't see many hands. You see, because there was a time and a point where a person was good because their word meant something. And that has just degenerated in our society today. And unfortunately, that same holds true even with folks who call themselves believers. He says, I am the faithful and true witness, meaning he keeps his promise. You know, the beginning of the creation of God. God is eternal. He has always been. He always will be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, that's great in a society that's ever changing, isn't it? I mean, how much change have we gone through in the past 2.5 years? A massive amount of change, haven't we? It seems to me like in my life, nothing is as it was 2.5 years ago. Everything's different in so many ways. It's like nothing is like it used to be. Society is going to continue to change. But let me make you a promise. God is never going to change. He is the same. You can trust him for that. You can trust him at his word. And because of that, here is something that each and every one of us need to understand on an individual basis as well as a corporate basis. Because of that, Christ, in our passage today to the Laodiceans, he was not deceived by the appearance of the success of this church. By earthly standards, the church at Laodicea would be considered a success story. But I want to tell you something. God does not always define success the same way that man defines success. And let me give you an example of that. You know, we would look at if you were part of the pastor search committee and you had a whole bunch of resumes and Noah submitted a resume to your church. Now, we know Noah, right? You know, built a big boat, you know, rained 40 days, 40 nights. Only people that survived on the earth was him and his family. If you looked at Noah's ministry resume, what would you think about it? Now, you're on the pulpit committee for Central Baptist Church, and you look at his resume, and you say, oh, okay, well, it looks like Noah has been in ministry for 125 years. He's got a pretty good little track record as far as a preacher. We haven't had a chance to hear him yet because we didn't have any tapes or anything like that. And we don't even have a stone tablet that's got his outline on it that we can look at. All we know is his reputation. And the reputation is, what do you all think about Noah? I could picture this going on in a committee. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking over the resume and they go, this guy's not really resonating with me. And then you know, your good chairman of your committee says, well, brother or sister so-and-so, tell me why he isn't resonating real well with you. And look at it and say, well, look, you know, he's been in the convention and he's been preaching at a church for 125 years. And he only has a handful of people who came to know the Lord. And you know what? I even pulled the records on that. And when I looked at it, not only does he just have a couple of people who came to know the Lord through his ministry, they were his family. They were family members. You know, they might have even felt sorry for him. They might have been going, oh, dad been preaching for 125 years. I ain't had to fill up no baptistry yet. Let's toss him a bone. Let's get saved today. Just his family. So when you look at his resume, now let's be honest, if you were through earthly eyes looking at his resume, would he float to the top of your pile? Look at Paul. You know, you're sitting there saying, well, maybe we should talk to Paul's probation officer to see if he's really a good candidate. That dude was in and out of jail more times than you could ever imagine. And yet, if our pulpit committee pulled a background check, we would be shocked, wouldn't we? Lord have mercy, we don't want this guy. This guy's a jailbird. Are you starting to pick up what I'm putting down? Too often we judge by earthly standards. We don't look beyond what's going on to see what it is that God would want. I mean, honestly, how many of y'all would say, I'd like to have Paul as a preacher in my church? Just a few of you. I'll tell the rest of y'all who Paul is. We'll talk a little bit more about him later on. I considered one of the greatest preachers of the word. Solid. Now, this was the guy, remember, he was persecuting Christians to start with, man. When he gave his life to the Lord, his life did a 180 degree turn right now, today. I mean, boom. He went from persecuting and killing Christians to reaching out to them and preaching Jesus. In a day. Are you starting to understand what I'm talking about? We have to start looking through a spiritual lens instead of an earthly lens. And we do so much through an earthly lens, don't we? We view it that way. We look at it that way. But you see, Christ was not deceived by the appearance of the success that the church at Laodicea was touting, and I'll get to that in a moment, but they were actually bragging about it. You know, We think about what was taking place and what was going on in that church. One of the things that we must understand is that he knows all about our church already. He knows what our heart is. He knows what our attitude is. He knows what our committees think. He knows when there are agendas that are counterproductive and counterintuitive to his work and his will. He already knows these things. And yet sometimes we act like he doesn't have a clue. God doesn't have a clue. And folks, by the way, one of the things I've learned is that most of the time, or I'll almost say all the time, God never does things the way I think he should do things. How about your life? Here's the other thing I want you to know. His way is always right. And my way is not. And sometimes it looks really different. It looks really odd. It looks counterintuitive to what we would do. Those are the times when God shows up the greatest. Those are the times when God does so much more than we could ever anticipate. He knows what was going on. He knew what was going on at the church at Laodicea, and he knows what's going on at Central Baptist Church and all the rest of the churches of this world, and he knows what's going on in your heart. You see, when it comes down to the church proper, he sees beyond the buildings. He sees beyond the budgets. He looks at what the heart is. Yeah, I've mentioned this before because it was so telling that I actually saw this one time that a church had closed down. I mean, they had boarded up the windows. The doors were locked. I mean, it literally had like a padlock on it. And they, like us, had a church sign that had a marquee on it. And what was written on that marquee was so telling. I mean, it was one of those things that just stopped me in my tracks, to be quite honest with you. Because you know what the marquee of the church said? It said going out of business because we didn't know what our business was. What is the business of the church? Can you answer that question? What is the business of the church? Well, let me just clear it up for you. The business of the church is to preach Jesus Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. The business of the church is to disciple people, to teach the word, so that you might learn and grow. It is so that we can come together as a body of believers with the common cause of Jesus Christ. That's why we're supposed to be here today to celebrate. Because you know what? You're like me. You're a child of the King. You're my brother and sister. This is a family reunion today. By the way, it's a real family reunion. We even gonna eat here in a little bit. We get together, we fellowship, we love on each other, we cry on each other's shoulders. How many of y'all remember the family reunions? How many of you still have them? Notice there are fewer hands that go down than there were before. Most people don't have them anymore. I remember, man, my grandma loved family reunion. Because, you know, one of the family members had bought the old home place that she grew up in. And you know, she was one of 11 or 12 children. So you can imagine how that went. And they used to have that reunion there. And what she used to love to do would be take us to places. She'd take me to a place at the spring. And she'd say, this is where we would keep the milk. You know, we had to make sure that the snakes didn't get to it. But this is where we kept the milk to keep it cold. This is where Daddy used to hang the meat to cure, because you know, you had to kill it yourself. You didn't just go down there and buy it. And my grandma used to love to talk about the good old days. But we were there together. It was family. And we loved on each other. This is family today. If you're a believer, you are my brother or sister in Christ. And you have to accept me. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Right? But we should love each other as such. You see, folks, the Lord sees beyond the buildings. He sees beyond the budgets. when things become more about what our building is and how nice this looks and those sort of things, then we have completely missed our mark and we're in danger of going out of business because we don't know what our business is. Now, I want to add something along the way here as well. That doesn't mean that you don't properly take care of what you have. But also let me make a reminder that what we have doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord, right? It's all His. We're stewards. We're managers. He can take care of it. Sometimes I wonder if God don't let an air conditioning unit go out so we can see what sort of comfort we're really living in. Because you know what happens? If that would happen, there would be people who wouldn't show up at church. It's just too hot. It's just too cold. It's just too rainy. I'm not going to do it because it's cutting into my comfort, or it's cutting into my style. Man, I'll tell you, some of the coolest places I preached in my life didn't have air conditioning. Man, I sweat in here in air conditioning. You imagine what it's like me in Cuba? I look like somebody dumped a bucket of water over my head. One church I preached at, the outdoor plumbing was 5 feet behind the pulpit. And you knew it was there. You understand what I'm saying? You knew it was there. Would we tolerate those sorts of conditions to be the church? Listen, it's not about coming to church. It's about being the church. And when we are the church, that means that what we have come to do and our objective is to preach Jesus Christ, to preach salvation through Him, and to teach each and every one of us to grow in His grace and grow in His favor. That's what Sunday school is. That's discipleship. Kelly's got a class. He teaches discipleship every Sunday. And you're missing an opportunity to grow in His grace, to learn, to allow. And I love what the Awana kids, one of their pledges is the Bible. You know, they pledge to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light into my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know how that works? You got to get this in here. And when you get this in here, the Holy Spirit will bring this up when it's needed. But if you don't get this in here, you got nothing to fall back on. You got nothing to show you along the way. Listen, the Holy Spirit jumps up and down in our lives all the time going, don't do it, and we don't listen. The Holy Spirit sits back and says, I don't think I'd make that decision. I don't think I'd go down that road. And we're like, go bebopping on down the road. But He says to him, He says, I know your works. The situation with the church at Laodicea was Christ was seeing how little passion they had for God and for souls. How'd you like the Lord to come in and tell you that? Oh, y'all got a lot of fine stuff around here, but you really don't care about people that are dying and going to hell. That would cut to the quick, wouldn't it? He says, you know, I don't care how many square feet your building is, how many people you're reaching for Christ. I don't care whether the flowers are real or artificial. How many people are you teaching about the love of God? See, He don't care whether or not we're meeting out in a field, under a tent or not under a tent. What is our passion? Do we understand that word passion anymore? What is it that drives us? Is it seeing people come to know Jesus Christ that drives us? Or are we just going through the motions of going to church? See, that's what they were doing. The church at Laodicea was going through the motions of religion. Oh, I'm a religious person. God's like, I don't care if you're a religious person or not, because religion's not what gets you to heaven. Jesus is what gets you to heaven. There's a whole bunch of religion out there that is far from doctrinal. You see, inwardly, he said that they were lukewarm. Yeah, it's really interesting about something. I'm a coffee drinker. Where are my coffee drinkers? Hallelujah. I love you people. But have you ever noticed, you get a cup of coffee, man, you get it off the stove, you get it out of the coffee pot, and it's hot, man. You're sitting there sipping on that thing. Yeah, either that or burning your lips, one of the two. That happens as well. Nothing like a good hot cup of coffee, right? But then you let it sit around for a while. You know what happens when you let coffee sit around for a while? What does it do? It starts to cool off. Now, some of you don't let it be long enough to cool off. Again, my people. But some of you do. How many of you all in here say, my coffee will cool off before I usually get it done? Okay. What do you do when that happens? There was this glorious invention called the microwave oven. Now, if the pot's still on, you just go over there, and if you remember, the old diners will still ask you. They'll come by and say, would you like a warm-up? My kind of place, good old greasy spoon. And what they'll do is they'll put that hot coffee into your lukewarm or room temperature coffee, and they'll bring more life back to it. Or if you're at the house, you'll go over there and you'll stick it in the microwave, and you probably know exactly how long it takes to get it where you want it to be. You will rejuvenate that cup of coffee. You'll make it hot again. Now, you picking up what I'm putting down? The Lord said to the church at Laodicea, he said, you're not hot and you're not cold. There are people who drink coffee piping hot. I like mine at about 211 degrees. And then there are people who actually drink iced coffee. Now, a lot of some of y'all are in here going, ugh. But boy, that's a big thing. They'll ice it down, man. They'll have an iced coffee. Now, I will be honest with you. I was one of those naysayers, but I've had an iced coffee, and occasionally I will have one. When it's like 9,000 degrees outside and I want coffee, I will get me an iced coffee, okay? Now, here's the thing about it. It's really good when it's iced. And it's really good when it's 211 degrees. But it is not good at room temperature. I.e., lukewarm. You know what the Lord is saying to the church at Laodicea? He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're room temperature. You're lukewarm. And he even goes on, he says this. He said, I would even have more respect for you if you were as cold as ice. I would at least respect that. But you're not. He said, I'd rather you be hot. He said, I would even rather you be extremely cold. But you're not. You are one of those middle of the ground, lukewarm churches. And then he went on and said something very telling. He said, because you're that way, I will, and depending on your translation, it will say, spew you out of my mouth, or in the case of our translation today, the New King James, it says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How many times? I love coffee, and I've picked up a cup before that got to be room temperature, and about the time it hits your tongue, you know it, and you're like, And then the first thing you do is either you stick it in there and heat it up, or grab you some ice out of the fridge. You'll change it. But the Lord is saying, you're lukewarm. You are nasty in my sight. He said, I would even respect you more if you were completely anti-Jesus, but you're not. You're playing that middle of the road thing. Jesus has less tolerance for those who are walking the fence than he does. He said, at least I know where you stand if you're ice cold, or I know where you stand if you're burning hot, but you are a flip-flopping waffle. One minute you're this way, one minute you're that way. How would you like it if the Lord walked into the church and said, Central Baptist Church, you are lukewarm and I will spew you out of my mouth? That's not a good report, is it? And you know what the arguments would be? See, he already encapsulated what the arguments would be. Well, hey, but look at our facilities. You know what the Lord said? I don't care. But Lord, look at the amount of square footage we've got. I don't care. Listen to how good the choir is. I don't care. Why not? Because you're completely missing your objective. You're completely off track. You are parading around like you love me, but you don't. What you're saying is completely different than what you're doing. You're a hypocrite. And because of that, you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. God's looking for some genuine people. And you know what happens with genuine people? Genuine people mess up, don't they? Where are all my perfect people? Nobody? All of you all mess up? Thanks be to God for His amazing grace. He said to Laodicea, your bank account looks good, but you guys have completely missed the mark as a church. Christ was disappointed in them. And because He was disappointed in them, He told them He was disappointed in them. They had some needs at Laodicea. How did the members of the church at Laodicea see themselves? I think that's a good question for us to ask today. How do you see yourself as a member of Central Baptist Church? How did the members of Laodicea see themselves when they heard this report from the Lord? You know what they did? They boasted about being rich and being increased with goods. That was their answer when the Lord said, you guys are messing up. Well, look how wealthy we are. They didn't get it. See, they thought they needed nothing. Oh, we got it. Hey, look, Lord, we got this. Look how much money we got in the bank, man. If something breaks, we just fix it. We got the money. The Lord's like, man, you guys are so off kilter. You have completely missed. Oh, by the way, sin is defined as missing the mark. It was actually an archery term. Missed the mark. Laodicea, at that point, had missed the mark. You see, churches can make tragic mistakes when they trade spiritual fare for the fancy things in life. They trade prayer for possessions. Churches that trade power with God for prestige with men. Churches that trade powerful preaching for partisan politics. And it happens, it's happening right now as we speak. As we speak. Last time I checked, the gospel message don't need my help. It's powerful and it stands on its own two feet. And let me tell you what else I know. When you preach the gospel in today's society, people don't want to hear it. They don't like it. See, today's society wants to take the Bible and mold it into what's fitting for their life instead of molding their life for what is fitting to the Word of God. And you see, what happens is when preachers preach that, it offends people. And they say, well, I'm just not coming back there. That was offensive to me. That is what happens with true Bible-believing churches. They start making trades. See, the church appeared to be rich. They're going, look at us, we're rich. You know what the Lord told them? You are filthy poor. You are filthy poor. You know, most of us have heard that expression before when maybe growing up and somebody said, well, were you rich growing up? And maybe you thought about that and said, well, yeah, I was. Now, we didn't have money for nothing. We couldn't afford anything. But you know what? We had each other and we loved each other. And we were so poor, we just didn't even know we were poor. How many of y'all can relate to that? You understand that. And we didn't have money, but Lord have mercy, we were rich because we had each other. And we were so dirt poor, we just didn't even know we were. Boy, what a great place to be, isn't it? Now, you know what Laodicea said? Oh, Lord, why don't you check our financial statement? Lord, why don't you see what the budget looks like? Lord, why don't you check this out? We don't have a need for anything. You know what the Lord said? You have a need, a great need for something, and it's called Jesus. You have a great need. You need to reassess. You need to reevaluate. You need to make some changes. So what did he make as recommendations for this poor, rich church? He says, gold tried in the fire. You know what that means? That means being faithful when enduring persecutions. How many people have you watched get persecuted and walk away? Oh, they hurt my feelings. I ain't coming back. I'm not going there. I've been persecuted, and I'm not going to stand for Jesus anymore because people talk funny about me and people say things about me. It is time for a bunch of buttercups to suck it up. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Our generation has gotten more worried about what everybody else thinks about them than what God thinks about them. And you better get that right. Plain and simple. You're going to be persecuted. Did you get that? You're going to be. How are you going to stand for the trial? Are you going to turn your back? He also mentioned white raiment. That's righteousness that is produced by faith. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is trusting God at His word, even when it looks like the situation is so desperate and so impossible. God is able. I like this one. Eye salve. That sounds like a grandma term. I used to love that. My grandma fell down, skinned up my knee. Let's put some salve on that thing. That's what you used to do to horses, wasn't it? Put salve on them. We don't even use that term anymore, do we? But when you think about it in this regard, eye salve is about the spiritual perception that's gained through Bible study and through prayer. How many times have we said, oh, now I see. I see what's going on. I see what God is doing. You know what the Lord's saying today? He's saying it to, He said it to Laodicea. He's saying it to Central Baptist. He's saying it to any other church out there. Y'all need a little eye salve. Because your vision needs to be corrected and cleared up. Eye salve. Jesus also warned them. He said, this is what's going on. Here's how you get out of it, but here's a warning. Jesus warned of rebuke and chastening unless changes were made. You see that in verse 19. Notice what he said. Those whom he loves, he chastens. He says, because I love you, I'm not going to let you get away with this. It is time for you and me to sit down and have an eye-to-eye, man-to-man, man-to-woman talk, whatever, you know, whatever it is. He said, this is the way it is. I'm telling you right now, this is not right. I hope and pray you have some people in your life that love you enough to do that, to even risk that sort of a friendship. I do, and I'm grateful for it. I've been on both ends of that. I had to tell a guy one time, I said, yeah, we need to talk. What do we need to talk about? I said, you being a jerk. I said, you're just a jerk. Well, I resent that. Said, don't care. I said, because I loved you enough to tell you that, because I said, you were just completely jacking everything in your life up, including the people that have stood by you for so long. You need to knock it off. So what happened? He didn't talk to me for about a week. But you know what he did do? He evaluated it and understood it. And then he came back and he said, you know what? I get it. I surrender. I give. I said, don't surrender to me. I said, the proof's in the pudding. P-U-D-D-I-N. As all my teachers cringe. The proof is in the pudding. How are you going to go forward from here? You can't change the past, but you can change the future. God doesn't expect you to change the past. He forgives you and you can move on. But he said, if you don't, I'm coming after you. You ever have a parent or somebody tell you that? Like, yeah, boy. You're messing up here. Now, you better get it right, because if not, the next time we have this chat, it's going to be a lot different. Mm-hmm. Some of you tried that before and you found it to be a lot different. God's the same way. He will apply the Board of Education to the seat of your learning. But he'll warn you first. Looky here. This ain't going right. Don't make me step in. Don't make me come over there and take care of you. I love what it says there in verse 20. There's the, I call it the affectionate knocking of the Savior. You see, the Lord turns to individuals and he knocks on each heart's door. He doesn't knock with a, you know, like he's trying to knock the door down. He knocks to where you can hear it. And he patiently waits for you to open that door. And here's the thing. He doesn't go away. Now, some of you all have done what I've done before. When the vacuum cleaner salesman drives up in the driveway. Now, think about it for a minute. I know what you've done. Because I've been you. Cut the lights off. Turn the TV off. Everybody get quiet real quick. Where are my people? Quit moving. They're going to hear you. And they come up and ding dong. Shh, give them a minute. They'll leave in a few minutes. Peeking through the drapes. And sure enough, after a few minutes, they'll usually leave. What would you do if they didn't leave? They just, I mean, hours have gone by. And you're like, look, we got to eat at some point. We're going to have to answer the door. The Lord is going to continue to knock at your heart's door until you give a response. You might jerk the door open and say, no, forget it, get out, and slam the door. A lot of people do that. But at least you're going to give him an answer. Some will invite him in, let him, hey, invite him in. They'll clean your whole living room and kitchen and everything else. Just tell them, hey, I see that filter there. Why don't you try the kitchen? It's laminate floor. Try it. I've seen how it does on carpet. Now, let's go see how the bedrooms are. Let them clean your whole house for you. Then you can say, nah, we just bought a vacuum cleaner last week. It's all good. Just kidding. Don't do that. But the Lord stands at the door and knocks. And he knocks patiently. He's not beating on the door. It is up to you as to whether or not you will open the door. And he says, for those who do, what does he say? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And this is talking about salvation. Have you trusted Christ? Have you opened your heart's door to him? Have you allowed him to come in? Is he a part of who you are? Christ knocks and he calls out to each one of us, offering to come in, offering to take care of us, offering to solve all the problems. You see, opening the door brings eternal life and fellowship with Jesus. What great rewards are those? Isn't that phenomenal? Man, I love it. Oh, the church at Laodicea had its problems, didn't it? But so do we. What is our focus? Are we focused? Like I said, he gave these letters to the seven churches at Asia Minor in early Revelation because every church falls generally into one of the categories of these churches. And you know what? There wasn't but like one of them that he said, attaboy. And we'll eventually get to that. That's Philadelphia. Not the place, the church. But he said, remember what he said? He said, you're doing a lot of good stuff, but you got some problems. Yeah, you guys are wealthy, but you got some problems. What is our focus? What is the focus of Central Baptist Church? What is the focus of each and every one of us? Because it takes each and every one of us to make up Central Baptist Church. It takes each and every one of our talents to create what Central Baptist Church can be in the hands of the Savior. And oh, let me tell you this, there are no spectators. If the Lord's brought you here, He's got a plan for you. It's time to get busy. Well, preacher, I just don't know. Well, let's figure it out. Get busy serving Him. One of the coolest places on the face of this planet is serving the Lord. Oh, it'll be costly. But its pay is out of this world, literally. You'll be rewarded for it. Are we like the church at Laodicea? The Lord has just walked in. Remember what I said earlier? I said, if the Lord walked in, what will we say? Well, the Lord did walk in. And He has taken evaluation of Central Baptist Church. He's taken evaluation of her people, her programs, her bank accounts, her buildings, and everything else. And now He asks the question, what's more important? The gospel message and discipleship, or the stuff? Which would it be? He's blessed us indeed, hadn't He? But He has blessed us that we might use it for His honor, for His glory, to bring people to Christ and train them to serve Him. You get it? He's rewarded us handsomely. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would take their place as we get ready to have this time of invitation. I've said before, I said, I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy. I grew up with an altar. How about you? There's been a whole lot of time spent at an altar in my life. And the really cool part about it is you can lay anything that you want at that altar and the Lord sweeps her clean right about the time your knees lock from standing up. And that's great. You can carry those things to Him. First of all, I'm asking you if you have trusted Christ. He's standing at the door and knocking. If you hadn't, listen, can you hear it? Notice what He said. If you open the door, He doesn't kick it in. You go open the door. He says, and if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. He will be a part of your life if you will allow Him. He doesn't force His way in. Will you open that door today? It's not about filling out a card. It's not about praying with the preacher. It's about opening the door. That's what it's about. Have you opened the door? You know what? Maybe you're here today and you have. You've opened that door. But you haven't been obedient to follow the Lord in baptism. Well, preacher, is that really important? Well, the Bible says it is. It's supposed to be your first act of obedience following salvation. Have you trusted Christ? And I can't tell you how many people come to me and they say, well, preacher, let me ask you a question. When I was younger, I thought I was saved, but I wasn't real sure. And then later on in life, I actually, you know that I came to know the Lord. But so I was baptized that first time. I said, well, were you saved the first time? Well, no, it was the second time. I said, have you been baptized following your salvation? Well, no. Does that answer your question? I said, what you got the first time was wet and clean. The second time, you know, is when you're following the Lord as your public profession of faith. Oh, listen, some of you all fit that category. Whether you're online, whether you're here, some of you are in that category. And you have just masqueraded and said, well, I just don't want anyone to know because I don't want to be 70 or 80 years old getting baptized. Why not? Boy, what a testimony that you had enough guts to do it. First act of obedience. Have you done that? Have you trusted him, number one? Have you followed him in obedience to baptism? Baptism doesn't save you, but that's your public profession of faith, and that's what the Lord commanded. He didn't suggest it. He commanded it. All right? What do you need to do about it? He's already told you if you need to do something about it, then do it today. Okay, what about those of us who've been following him? You know what? We find ourselves in the hog pen of the prodigal son a lot in our lives, don't we? But you come to yourself and you come back to the Father. Maybe today you need to come back to the Father. Maybe you need to reassess your priorities. Maybe you need to, maybe you personally do. Obviously, you know, I think we as a church do. I'd a whole lot rather hear the speech he gave Philadelphia than the one that he gave Laodicea. Have you found yourself today lukewarm, where there's the microwave of the Holy Spirit that can heat you up if you'll let him? If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. But I want you to do business with God and with what he's put on your heart right now. Do it now, because if you don't, then Satan will distract you and you won't do it, and he will win. Do you want Satan to win? Deal with the Lord and the Holy Spirit right now as we stand, as we sing. The altar's here. I'm here. Whatever you need to do, do it. Bowed, and as each and every one of you do business with God, can you truly say that as you walk away from this time, that you're doing so with a clear heart, with a clear conscience, that you have dealt with what the Lord has put on and in your heart? Listen, don't let Satan win. That is step number one right now. He is drawing you nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Ask our ushers at this time if they would to make their way down to the front. Our Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and thankful for the provision that you give each and every one of us in our lives. Lord, everything that we have comes from you and it belongs to you. You simply call us to be stewards. And Father, we've now reached this time as an act of worship when we give back to you that portion that you have blessed us with in such a faithful way. Lord, may our faithfulness to be good stewards to you be reflective in your goodness in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you today for it as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just a couple quick things for you. there are no Sunday evening activities here because we're going to have our picnic in just a few minutes. If I don't strangle to death first. So no evening activities here. That includes our D-Life group. Guys, keep reading your five chapters. We'll meet next Sunday. That also includes no choir practice for this evening. Don't forget the picnic. I will be saying the blessing at 1 o'clock at Triad Park. Please come and join us. You got to eat somewhere, and at least you won't have to spend $97 for a hamburger somewhere else. Come on out there, Triad Park. When you go in Triad Park, you'll come to a stop sign, turn right. It's Shelter 7. Awaken Church will be joining us as well over there, and we look forward to having that time to be able to celebrate together. There is a building and grounds meeting on September the 18th at 3:30, room 202. And just as a reminder, Awana is starting on September the 18th as well. That kicks off at 5:30 on September the 18th. Monthly business meeting is also September the 18th at right around 7:15, whenever the Sunday Bible study is over with. Ladies' Tea is coming up on September the 25th. That's going to be from 3 to 5. If you need information on that, you can talk to Mari, and I think Carol also could give you some information on that. And then every Wednesday, there's a men's breakfast at 10 a.m. So that if you like to eat breakfast, we could call it brunch. It's 10 o'clock. I think you can still get breakfast there, or you can get lunch. So whichever is your pleasure. So guys, if you can make that, 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. Just before we close out, don't forget, this week we're not showing that we have any birthdays, but we do have a couple of anniversaries. As a matter of fact, today, 9/11, Carol Boone has put up with Mark for a significant number of years. And we know better how to pray for him. If you get a chance, hug Carol's neck and slap Mark on the head and tell him happy anniversary. That's today. So right on the heels of that, tomorrow, my bride, Jana, will have put up with me for 30 years of marriage. So Jana and I have been married 30 years tomorrow. That's on the 12th. And this coming Wednesday, Tammy and David Bowman will also be celebrating a wedding anniversary. So be sure, if you're a card sender or a text writer or whatever, let these folks know that we love them, we appreciate them, we're praying for them. Once again, keep our staff in your prayers. A lot of you know Debbie, although Debbie goes to another church. She's our administrative assistant, and Debbie's husband, James, went on to be with the Lord this past week. Visitation is tomorrow, and the funeral is on Tuesday. So we want to keep Debbie in our heart and in our prayers. We really appreciate all the work that she does around here for us, and we just need to remember her during this particular trying time, as well as those who have lost loved ones. We've got a lot of folks. Grief is a real deal. So let's continue to remember our folks that particularly over the past couple years, we have seen a lot of loss here in Central Baptist Church. So don't forget, 1 o'clock high, the blessing will be said. We won't dilly-dally around. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as your children. May we not be found like the church at Laodicea. Father, if there's lukewarmness about us, I pray that you will deal with our hearts. Lord, help us to come in line with you on a personal level that we might also do so on a corporate level. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we're going to have to fellowship together here in just a little bit. Lord, we pray that you'll keep the rain off of us for a while, long enough for us to be able to enjoy some food and fellowship together in just a little while out at the park. Bless and strengthen us, Father, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. All right, folks, we'll see you at the park, 1 o'clock.